I just don't think that there's anything else comparable. I mean, I look at lots of things, I get excited by lots of things, but I've never been in the first inning of a $1 trillion opportunity, so could not be more excited.
Welcome to Multifamily Insights, the show to help you succeed as an apartment investor. Listen in as John Kasman interviews experts to help you find the best places to invest, attract investors, and scale your portfolio. This is Multifamily Insights with your host, John Kasman.
Welcome to Multifamily Insights. I'm your host, John Kasman, and I want to thank you for joining us for another great episode. Now, I'm really excited about today's show. We got a returning guest, Mr. Neil Bawa. Now, if you're interested in multifamily and you want to review a sample deal, you are in luck. We have a special download on our website of a sample deal package. Just go to kasmancapital.com/sample deal, and you'll also join our mailing list to get tips and exclusive investment opportunities. Again, that's kasmancapital.com/sample deal. Neil, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on again, John. It's always a hoot to be on your show. It's also nice to be with you and Bree at the conference, and unfortunately, can't make it this year, but thanks for having me on the podcast.
Absolutely. Neil, listen, you're right. It's always fun to talk to you. You always bring a lot of energy, a lot of great insights, and I love hearing what you've been up to. The last time we spoke to you was right when COVID was setting, and I know we talked a lot about what to expect. Why don't you take a minute or two, give us a little bit of background on who you are, and then we'll jump into our conversation today.
Sounds good. So I'm a recovering technologist, geek, nerd, dork, whatever you want to call it, steeped in Silicon Valley culture. I love the use of data analytics to predict where the most amount of real estate profit will be made. So there's about 50,000 people that follow us and use those analytics, and I've used them over the last 6 or 7 years. Large syndication conglomerate. We do multifamily. We do build to rent, townhome developments, industrial self-storage. Portfolio will hit the $1 billion mark sometime later this year, and will simultaneously be hitting the 1,000 investor mark at some point this year. So none of that really matters to me as much as research data, as sharing insights. That's what I really like doing. That's my itch. And so being on these podcasts and sharing my insights is actually the most fun part of my job.
I love it. Neil, you talked about where you're at right now, hitting $1 billion in assets under management, the portfolio this year, 1,000 investors, but ultimately really focusing on the data, understanding how to look at what's happening, understand what the data is telling you, and then interpret that for the insights you need to know where to invest next. So with that in mind, what do you see for this year, right? We're recording this at the beginning of 2022. What do you see as the outlook for the rest of this year?
It's going to be a strong year. And there's a lot of reasons for that. If you look at CBRE, their predictions of GDP growth came in at 4.7%. That's data from this week. 4.7% is phenomenal. Usually, real estate wants GDP growth of 2% to support rent growth, to support cap rate compression or holding steady on the cap rates. When you tend to get GDP growth over 3%, that's when cap rates tend to compress strongly. And also you tend to see significant rent growth because a lot of money is going into people's pockets. We're seeing inflations at record highs. You can spend 5 minutes on the internet and you can find 100 quotes from much smarter people than I that say, basically they all say, when there's high inflation, hold fixed assets. Just Google it. Don't believe what I'm saying. Just Google it. There's 100 quotes out there from just the last week. So people want to hold inflation-resistant assets such as Bitcoin, such as real estate, gold. Gold is out of fashion at this point in time, but Bitcoin and real estate seem to be assets that people are interested in holding. And so I see more of the same. Rent growth was astonishing in 2021. No person that I know of predicted double-digit rent growth in 2021, but we came in at 13.5%. In the 2 years before COVID, the average was about 2.5%. So one could say that rent growth in the last year was about 5 to 5.5 times what it was running at before COVID. And we expect to have another good year. At this point, we're predicting maybe 5.5% rent growth in this next year, which may not seem very sexy compared to 12.5% or 13% rent growth, but 5.5% is a phenomenal number. The 30-year average is 2.5%, so you're coming in at more than double that average. And when rent growth happens, that really pushes prices. What we don't expect pushing prices this year, like it did last year, is cap rate compression. So we had astonishing once in a lifetime, not even once in a generation, once in a lifetime cap rate compression in every form of asset, not just multifamily, but also industrial and self storage, not so much hotels and retail. They didn't compress as much, neither did office, but multifamily assets compressed all across the board, even in the Rust Belt, where there hasn't been much compression in the past, we saw across the board compression. We expect to see that moderate a great deal. There may be a few super hot metros in the Sun Belt that will continue to compress. So you could see Jacksonville compress. You could see Dallas, San Antonio, and Austin continue to compress. But across the board, cap rate compression really comes to an end in this year. So what's going to help price growth is going to be rent growth. So we are seeing the astonishing 13% rent growth of last year. Remember, not all of those contracts have renewed yet. So as those contracts renew in Q1, you'll see NOI increases, but the industry is going to hit a absolute all-time record net operating income number in Q1, again in Q2, before it sort of settles in Q3. And so it's really rent growth that's going to drive pricing at this point of time. It's not going to be anything else that's going to drive pricing. Too many of these technology things all ringing at the same time. So we expect to see strong pricing growth for multifamily assets, strong rent growth, and cap rates that I expect plateaued out. I do not expect to see cap rates going up unless we have an adverse event happen, because there's simply just an astonishing amount of money sitting on the sidelines. The amount of money that is dry powder for CRE, for commercial real estate, is the highest in history, right? And there's so much profit that's been taken from the stock market, so many people looking to get into real estate, that the 3 interest rate hikes that I expect to happen this year are not going to budge cap rates. I don't think they go down. I don't think cap rates compress anymore. I think we've had phenomenal compression in 2021. I think they stay where they are at. Having said that, I do expect some Sunbelt cities to compress further.
There you go. I appreciate that feedback. And you gave a really robust outlook on what to expect, what we've seen, but also the why behind it. You talked about rent growth, seeing double-digit rent growth last year, looking to see anywhere between 5 and 6% rent growth in 2022. Those are some of the projections that we're seeing, as well as cap rates. You talked about the compression, not necessarily expecting more compression to take place, maybe in some of those really hot markets like Jacksonville and Dallas, but for the rest of the country, not really seeing much more compression. You mentioned that there might be 3 interest rate hikes throughout the year and cap rates compressing more, but you also didn't necessarily see them expanding. Can you give us a little bit more context to that relationship between cap rates and interest rates?
Sure. So last year, this is one of my favorite things to talk about because it's so easy and so quick. Between 2015 and 2018, the Federal Reserve increased cap rates 9 times, from 0.25 to 2.5. During that time, in that entire 3-year time frame, when cap interest rates were increased 9 times, at no point did cap rates stop compressing. So this concept that the moment the Federal Reserve raises interest rates, cap rates will start to decompress, they will start to go up, so prices go down, is a myth. It's obvious that there's a strong correlation, but prices are affected by more than cap rates. And in the 2015 to 18 cycle, anyone can go to the web, type in cap rate graph, multifamily, hit enter, you know, click on the first link that comes up in Google, and you notice that cap rates were compressing during 9 successive hikes. We're going to get the first 3 of those hikes coming in this year. But what that's going to do is to start to plateau out this sharp decline in cap rates that we saw in 2021. So there still might be overall some cap rate compression happening in 2022. And then by 2023, I think it plateaus out. And 2024 is when it could start to go up, when the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th interest rate hike is happening in 2024. That's when you start to see that happen, right? So there's obviously a correlation, but you've got to pound in a lot of interest rate hikes for a declining cap rate trend to reverse.
Got it. Thank you for sharing that. And definitely make sure we'll link to one of those graphs in the show notes if anybody wants to check that out. I know that we talked a lot about multifamily, obviously. We've talked about what's going on in the economy as well. But I know there's something else that you're really interested in right now that just caught your eye. So maybe you could talk to us a little bit about that.
So I felt like even though I've been in multifamily for a long time, I think it wouldn't be fair for me to say that I came in the first inning or second inning of this multifamily expansion, because that truly was to 2010 or late 2010, 2011, 2012. I felt like I came in the fourth, fifth, sixth inning, right? I didn't come in early on. So I want to alert everyone that I can talk to, everyone that listens to you and to me about us. We are in the first inning of a $1 trillion opportunity. It could possibly be only time in your life when you come in the first inning. So I'll give you an example of this opportunity and how ridiculously large it is. So every single person listening to you today knows the amazing success story that was Bitcoin, right? So today, Bitcoin is at 40,000. It briefly went up to 60,000, but I think now it's more fairly priced at around 40,000. What if you could buy a Bitcoin, not at $40,000, but at $1, just $1. So you would now have 40,000x growth, right? And that time was 2011. 2011 is when Bitcoin was a dollar. Today, in 2021, 10 years later, we are in the first inning of one other such $1 trillion opportunity. And no, I'm not selling anything. I have nothing to sell anything with regards to this opportunity. And the opportunity is called real estate tokenization or tokens. Right? Many words are used, security tokens, STs, STOs. There's lots of different words being used, but essentially, we are finally where people have been talking about for a long time. In October, when I was doing podcasts and webinars about this, I said, we are not in the first inning yet. You know, in a 9-inning baseball game, we're not in the first inning, but it's clear to me that the pitcher is walking out to the mound and taking some practice. He's kind of turning his arm over, but the first pitch hasn't been delivered in true real estate tokenization. Since October, I can now definitely say that the first pitch has been delivered and we are in the first inning of this amazing $1 trillion opportunity. And so this is the one that I believe everyone should be looking at. And it really allies well with multifamily. I know you've got listeners that are not necessarily in multifamily or in the single family space. I feel like there's some challenges there, even though we've seen some single family tokenization already occur with two companies kind of pushing ahead. But I think that the meat and potatoes opportunity is actually in the multifamily space, and it's staggeringly profitable.
For listeners who aren't as familiar with cryptocurrency, blockchain technology, tokens and tokenization, NFTs, all this stuff, right? For those listeners who are not as familiar, can you just maybe paint the landscape a little bit more and explain exactly what is a real estate token?
Sure. The easiest way to explain a real estate token is to give you an analogy. We've all heard about young millennials getting into trading because of the popularity of apps such as Robinhood. It's just so easy for them to trade. Everyone's buying stock, and that's pushing up stock valuations even beyond where they should be, right? I think we all know that the stock market's overvalued, but it's overvalued because there's so much interest because the millennials basically trading on their phone using Robinhood's one example, but there's lots and lots of apps that make trading interesting and fun activity, right? Just like almost like gambling, right? But I'm not suggesting that they're gambling. I think they are investing, but it's got a little bit of a gambling feel to it, right? With all kinds of achievements and awards and things like that. It makes it sexy. So if you say, okay, I want to do that. I want to be able to do that in an app. And I want to be able to buy all kinds of real estate. Like today, I'm on the John Kasmon podcast, and there's a guy that comes in and says, hey, anything you buy in Idaho Falls is going to triple in the next 2 years. And he comes in and you're like, I believe this guy, right? Today, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, sure, you can stop doing whatever the heck it is you're doing in real estate and get on a plane and go to Idaho Falls, and you'll probably establish some relationships. And then 3 months later, you'll go back again. And then you'll spend a huge amount of time kind of making connections, blah, 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 doing something, making offers, getting turned down for offers, finally getting an offer accepted, then spend months and months rehabbing that property. And then maybe 6 months to 9 months from now, 5,000 hours of work later, you might have something up and running. So when you listen to that and you listen to what millennials are doing with Robinhood and why Robinhood's so popular, because of the fact that you can buy stuff. You're at a party and somebody says, hey, this particular stock, NVIDIA, is going to blow up. And you just fish out your phone and go tap, 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 tap. I bought $1,000 worth of NVIDIA, right? That is extremely sexy. And you can't do it with real estate. Also, because real estate's expensive, single family home, $300,000, multifamily, $30 million, right? How do you do that? Well, people have forever wanted to take a $10 million multifamily and break it up into 10,000 tokens of $1,000 each and offer it to people for people to be able to buy into it. So when I go to a party and people say, hey, Jacksonville's going to be super hot, rents are going to go crazy, I want to be able to fish out my phone and buy a bunch of tokens in multifamily, not just in single family, but in multifamily. But even with single family, you couldn't do that. You couldn't just basically go out there and buy tokens in somebody's property and automatically get rents coming to you monthly, or in some cases weekly, right? Weekly. You could have rents coming in every week into your cryptocurrency wallet, and you can just sell it up from there to transfer to your bank account, because it is real dollars, right? So your Ethereum wallet could have incoming money coming in. That's a fantasy. People have wanted to do this for decades, because when we look at why real estate consistently produces better returns in stock, everybody knows that, right? The reason for that is it's illiquid. It's hard work. You can't really get rid of your real estate in real time if you wanted to get rid of it like that. So everyone knows that the future is that people will not go out and buy a property. They will go out and buy tokens, because nobody goes out and buys a company. People go out and buy 10 shares of Apple, 10 shares of Google, right? So fractionalization is the right way to make investments, whether it's Bitcoin or it's stocks. So why can't it be done for real estate? And the answer is there was no real mechanism to do that until cryptocurrencies. And the big cryptocurrency that we know of is called Bitcoin. There's a second one called Ethereum, which is much more important. But what's more important than the cryptocurrencies are the back end of these cryptocurrencies. There's something known as the blockchain, which is essentially simply a chain of blocks on the internet. And what makes the blockchain so powerful is that once you write a transaction to the blockchain, it never goes away. No government, no Federal Reserve, no bank can ever change anything written on the blockchain. And that's fundamentally different. And so people are extremely excited about blockchain usage, because their ownership of an asset or a Bitcoin or an Ethereum coin is never in question, as long as what the blockchain says on the web matches what's in their wallet, they're always the owner, right? If there's a property that John has, let's say it's a triplex in South Shore, Chicago, he tokenizes it and he sells 10,000 tokens. And one day somebody says, no, these tokens are all wrong. I bought 1,000 tokens and for some reason, nobody's giving me access to those tokens. Well, anyone at that point in time, any lawyer that he hires can sit down with the other guy's lawyers, and they can basically go look at all of the tokens for John's property and then look at John's wallet and match them up. And if the matching is there, the lawsuit's over, because the other side lawyer is going to tell his client, look, you can't win. There's incontrovertible evidence that this person owns 1,000 tokens. There's nothing I can do about it. Don't waste your time in court. So it never goes to court. That is so clean, because you don't need to go to an escrow company. The evidence is on the internet. Your privacy is still safe. Nobody knows that it's John Kasman's wallet, but there's a number and it's unique. And at any point in time, you can prove ownership. That is powerful, because today we are losing trust in our governments. We're losing trust in our federal banks. We want to have access to an asset. We want to own an asset with incontrovertible evidence that we are the owners. And that is what blockchain does for every kind of asset. And of course, one of the top assets that everyone is looking to turn into tokens is real estate. So tokenization is a process of taking any kind of real estate asset, even a parking lot, they're breaking up into $100, $1,000, $10,000 tokens, selling those tokens on the web, just like people are selling Bitcoins, selling those on markets on the web and a variety of different markets, And then people basically transacting. So you go to that market, you click on their real estate section, you click on the city that you're interested in, you click on the asset type, and you see 20, 30, 100, 1,000 listings. And you say, yeah, I'd like to invest in that hotel. And I'll also take 50 tokens of this multifamily and 100 tokens of that self-storage. That democratizes real estate in a way that was inconceivable. And to me, I said to people, we're not in the first inning yet because we need to see some credible platforms emerge that are just real estate, and we need to see some credible players put stuff in. Well, between October and now, it's happened. So I'll give you three examples of what's going on. And these are all in the last 4 months. So this is how early it is. Lofty.ai is a company that is selling single family homes as tokens, $50 tokens. You can go to lofty.ai and buy a bunch of properties, $50 at a time. They send you your rents. They send them monthly. Realty, R-E-A-L, followed by the letter T, dot co. That's their website. Realty.co is doing the same, but actually doing it even more scaled than Lofty.ai. And they send rents to you weekly, every week. And they're doing properties in Chicago. They're doing properties in, let's see, Cleveland, Cincinnati. I think they're doing St. Louis, Detroit, a bunch of properties, right? But this is all not as important as the third company, Solid Blocks, just tokenized an entire commercial portfolio in Florida. It's on their website. Anyone can buy it. It's a large portfolio. I believe it's offices, basically detox centers. And to me, right there, that's the beginning of the first pitch. The game is on. We have 9 innings to go, trillions to make. We're in the first inning now because commercial assets in the United States are now being put on the blockchain and tokenized. It's been done in Europe before. But to me, I think true proof of us having access to that money is when it starts getting done in the US. So three examples, lofty.ai, solidblocks.co, I think. And that those are the ones doing commercial, and realty, R-E-A-L-T.co, all have just happened. We're on our way towards a $1 trillion opportunity. And I could not be more excited about this because it truly once and for all democratizes real estate.
Listen, you just gave us a lot of information. I want all of our listeners to take a moment, hit that rewind feature, okay? Play that back, because Neil gave a lot of information that it may take 2 or 3 listenings to actually fully process. I'm going to recap a little bit of it, right? First of all, where you're talking about the blockchain, you're talking about cryptocurrency, this is really a different way to invest, to make money, to transact. And if you understand that and you start learning about that, you'll understand where these opportunities lie. And real estate has always been something that has excited a lot of people in the crypto space, in the blockchain space. But the application hasn't been as clear. We've seen people talk about doing tokens for syndications, but what you're talking about is really tokenizing the actual property and doing it that way with the company. So
you can definitely do it for syndications too. In fact, I've always been telling people tokenizing your syndications is actually a very good use of the blockchain of tokenization. So by all means, tokenize your syndications. And you don't have to do all of it, right? You can have a $5 million raise and you tokenize 500,000 of it.
Yep. So there's a lot of different things here. We don't have the time to dig deep into this. This is one of those things where I implore you to do your own research, learn more about it. And then if you want to learn more, if you want to talk to Neil and his team, he's got a ton of resources on his website. So you go to Multifamily University, multifamilyu.com, and there's information there. Or feel free to reach out to Neil and he'll be happy to share a little bit more information. Neil, I know you do a lot of educational things. Are you doing some things right now on tokenization that you talk about specifically?
At the end of January, Multifamily University will host a big webinar on tokenization. We're going to basically give examples of all these sorts of vendors. We might bring in a white label vendor that can help you take your syndications and tokenize them. And so we encourage everyone to do this. Once again, we don't have a tokenization product to sell. We're probably going to tokenize $100 million of real estate this year. And that's our own database, right? We've got investors already doing that. We just raised about $90 million in Q4. And we're very excited about some of that being tokenized. So our investors have liquidity. If mom gets cancer and she didn't have health insurance, you need to liquidate your shares, well, there's a secondary market, right? Go there, click there, put your information in, and somebody else will basically buy your tokens. I mean, that's powerful. And you don't even need to involve us because the tokens were on the blockchain to begin with, right? So I think it's an incredible concept. It has amazing advantages. And I just don't think that there's anything else comparable. I mean, I look at lots of things. I get excited by lots of things, but I've never been in the first inning of a $1 trillion opportunity. So could not be more excited. Tons and tons of content coming from multifamilyu.com this year. None of that involves any kind of pitch.
Neil, it's always great to talk to you. I want to thank you again for coming on Multifamily Insights, talking about what you see for 2022, as well as this unique $1 trillion opportunity with tokenization. Thanks again, Neil. And if for anyone who's listening, you want to learn more, go to multifamilyu.com and you can connect with Neil there. Thank you for listening to this episode of Multifamily Insights, the podcast to help you become a better apartment investor. If you like this show, I need you to do three easy things. One, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. Two, leave us a rating and review so we can learn what you love about the show and how to make it better. And three, just chill to the next episode.